Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble here for Aaron Flint, and we've got George Blackard in the house as well on a special Freedom Friday, a June 6th Freedom Friday. George, thanks for being here.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful day, and it is the 6th of June, D-Day, so that's a historic and important day.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw that Trump was in the Oval Office with the German chancellor the other day and pointed out to the German chancellor that, you know, June 6th, 1944 wasn't a great day for you. And the German chancellor was like, actually, you know, it was actually a pretty good day for us because that was kind of the beginning of the liberation from the Nazi dictatorship. Kind of a funny exchange. I don't know if you saw that.
That's a politician right there. He goes, well, actually, you know, we were really wanting to get rid of him. Yeah, that's great. I like it. Save face.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody's sort of been talking about the Elon Musk, Donald Trump thing. I mean, I suppose people are just dying to hear your take on it. So before we get into anything else.
Well, you know, to me, it's not surprising. They're acting like kids and bickering and arguing and, you know, it's like I've said it before. It's like when somebody jumps up and flips over the Monopoly board and storms off because you did something they didn't like. And that's kind of what Musk is doing. And, you know, Trump, he doesn't have to go anywhere. He can sit there. It's his house, right? So it's like but they're still playing into it, feeding off of it. And the crazy thing is, here go those crazy liberals and Democrats. As soon as Musk turns against Trump, they're back on board with him. I mean, instantly back on board with him.
Which is why a lot of people are saying, you know, is this sort of, are Elon Musk and Donald Trump, are they in on this together? Are they doing this just to help Elon Musk businesses?
I don't know. You know, that's an interesting take on it, but I don't think so. I think they really are at odds. And I think part of it is, you know, you kind of have two alphas here. And,
right.
And
it was inevitable, sort of, wasn't it?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I kind of thought this from the beginning that this can't last too long.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I'm impressed that they were able to go as long as they did. Yeah. And especially the way I sort of view this is Elon Musk's real problem is with Congress, right? Because I think that Donald Trump would sign a bill that had a lot more spending cuts if Congress would do it. If the problem is with Congress, is the way I see it.
Well, I agree. I think that it's much bigger than just Trump because, you know, all he can do is support and push the bill, and Congress is going to sign it. So, you know, before it gets to him, they have to pass it. So I think it's important to see who the players are, to watch the ball bounce very closely, to see what's really truly going on. And, you know, there are a lot of Republicans, there are some Republicans that don't like the bill, and they're trying to get them. No Democrats apparently like it. So it's a task to get something like that passed.
It is, and I'm one of those Republicans that I really like everything that's in it in terms of the actual policy, the funding for Trump's agenda, the deportations, all of that. Of course, I'm with a lot of other folks that wish we could have more cuts as well. You know, but you got to get the votes in Congress, and that's the big hurdle. We'll be right back with more with George Blackard right after this.
June 6th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Drive-In Movie Day. It marks the anniversary of the first drive-in that opened in Camden, New Jersey in 1933 by Richard M. Hollingshead Jr. People watch movies on a large projector outdoors from inside their cars. An important day in the history of the modern world. D-Day in 1944. 160,000 Allied soldiers stormed the beaches of Normandy, France. The liberation of Europe from Nazi rule was underway. Presidential candidate and U.S. Senator Robert F. Kennedy, the brother of President John F. Kennedy, died on this day in 1968 at the age of 42, a day after he was shot by Sirhan Sirhan at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles. The Basketball Association of America was founded in New York City in 1946. It changed its name 3 years later to the National Basketball Association. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, for the next Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and George Blackard here filling in on Freedom Friday on June 6, 2025. George, give us an update on the VA, if you don't mind.
Well, so, you know, a few years ago, we talked about it on this show here recently even, that the VA doubled their budget to almost, I think it was $360 billion, doubled it in a couple of years. And care didn't get better. And Congress has this thought that's incorrect, that all you have to do is throw more money at something and that will fix it. Well, that's not going to fix the VA, and they prove it over and over and over again. However, here, the House Appropriations Committee, I was looking at an article from military.com. The House Appropriations Committee's fiscal 2026 VA spending bill would give the department about $453 billion, going up $83 billion more than this year. So it just shows you that nothing has changed there. That they believe all you have to do is throw more money at something to get it to work. And so some of this would go to veterans' disability pay, discretionary funding. And so veterans' disability pay is mandatory spending. Then you have discretionary spending that's used for medical care. And so the part for medical care is only getting, let's see, a 4% bump to about $134 billion. But $134 billion. And, you know, you might remember the PACT Act. There was a couple of acts that got passed, and one of them was to support veterans' medical care that were affected by burn pits and different chemicals and things like that, which was very important because they ignored that for a long, long time. And it's good that they're doing that. But there's also community care. So community care is where the veteran is supposed to be able to go out in the community and get see their own doctor and have the VA pay for it. You know, as much as John Tester and everybody else pounded their chests and grunted about what a great deal this was, it's never really worked all that well. And it's still a problem. They still screw over the veterans
What's the problem with it? Like if you go to your own doctor, the VA may push back on paying for it or that type of thing?
Exactly. There's all kinds of problems with it. But one huge problem is the VA is so slow to pay that these doctors and hospitals and things will bill the veteran. And, you know, what are they going to do? Except they should understand it's the government and they're slow. But the VA could step up and pay those bills on time and we wouldn't have that problem. It used to be, and it may still be this way in places, a veteran would go to a local doctor in the community to get care and they would ask them, so what's your Social Security number when they check in? And the veterans, because that's the way they've been conditioned, would give it to them. Well, as soon as the VA didn't pay them promptly, then they would bill the veteran. And if the veteran didn't pay it, because, hey, the VA is supposed to pay it, then they would send the veteran to collections, which would cause all kinds of problems. So
that's terrible.
Yeah. So this is just, you know, government bureaucracy and stuff all the way through. So, you know, the Mission Act was the act that was supposed to let veterans go out in the community for care. So, you know, it's just another example of them throwing a ton of money at something that doesn't work. What they need to do is hire quality doctors and nurses and incentivize those people to stay working for the VA. That's always been a problem, hiring people, and especially around here. And, you know, for instance, I ran into a guy at the airport one day, and I was flying out. He was flying out, and we started visiting, and he worked in Salt Lake City, Utah. He had come here to interview for a job with the VA. He said, I was about 10 minutes into the interview, and I was like, no, I'm not working here. There's no way. Because it's dysfunctional. It has been dysfunctional for years. And it's the top two or three leadership spots at the VA. A lot of people may remember that when I started raising concerns and questions, I was investigated by the VA twice. Guys with guns came to my office.
Investigated for what?
Because I made the director of VA Montana mad when I told her about some things that was going on with the care of a veteran in the VA system here. And so she said that I misrepresented myself, which I didn't. At the time, I told her that I was a state officer for the American Legion of Montana, which I was. I wore my uniform to the meeting. In fact, she called the American Legion and said, hey, who is this guy and what? And he's lying to us. And they said, no, he's not. That's who he is. You know, you guys took the meeting with him. And so I just made her mad. So then they started digging into things. And what they finally landed on was they said, we have this document here. Is this your signature? And I said, yeah, it's my signature. And they said, well, you lied. This is fraud. And I said, no, it's not. I said, take this paper. See right here where I signed my name right here. It says this person will live with the veteran. And so what I was doing was signing on as a secondary caregiver in case the primary caregiver needed a day off to go to the doctor or something like that. And they said, well, you're required to live there. And I said, it says I will live there. It doesn't say I do live there. So, yeah, it was crazy. They tried everything they could.
It's just classic. It's just classic. Here you have a member of the public, a citizen, a veteran, member of the American Legion, just trying to help out, just trying to do the right thing and help out, and you end up getting viciously attacked and shut down like that. Just classic from the government.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economists and plenty of other people are worried about the future, as they should be. Inflation, taxes, government debt, national security. There are plenty of things to worry about, but it's useful sometimes to think about where we've been. And for the U.S. economy as a whole, it's been an exceptionally good performance. Back in the year 2000, the U.S. economy was about 20% smaller than the European Union, as Lynn Thoman said recently on our Three Takeaways podcast. Today, we're almost 30% bigger. Mississippi, the least wealthy state in the country, is wealthier than France today per capita. The U.S. remains the largest single market in terms of spending power in the world. Our risk tolerance, low levels of regulation and taxes, and especially our outsized tech sector have contributed to these outcomes. There are threats to this dominance, particularly from China, which trains six times as many engineers as we do. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that the American economic engine is unmatched for growing the economic pie we all share. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox in the fast lane.
Ryan Blaney came away victorious in Music City for his first win of the 2025 NASCAR Cup Series season.
It's going to be a Nashville night to remember. Ryan Blaney is the man in Music City.
That was courtesy of Prime Video as Blaney led 139 of the 300 laps in the Cracker Barrel 400 at Nashville Super Speedway. Blaney finally broke through after coming close multiple times this season. Prior to his victory, Blaney had five top five finishes, including two third-place finishes at Texas Motor Speedway and Kansas Speedway. Carson Hocevar, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and William Byron rounded out the top five. Byron remains at the top of the Cup Series championship standings, 48 points up on Kyle Larson with 12 regular season races remaining. The Cup Series now heads to Michigan International Speedway for the Firekeepers Casino 400 on Sunday. Tyler Reddick is the defending winner at the track. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
Hey, for the life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Mommy, how come I can't
in the front seat.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and George Blackard here on Freedom Friday on June 6th. We were talking about the VA, George, and it seems to me like what's happened with the VA is kind of what you see happen with a lot of the bureaucracies that Congress sets up, and sort of because they take on a life of their own and they sort of become self-perpetuating, and then you get people. And this is sort of like organizational theory that you'll learn in a basic, you know, organizational theory class in college, in terms of how organizations will sort of, they'll start to perpetuate themselves, and then certain positions within the organization will then try to just, instead of serving the interests of the original mission of the organization, it's just sort of natural for an organization to start to serve itself and to start to be more concerned about itself and its own positions. And I not being involved in the VA and just sort of hearing you talk about it, that's the sense that I get.
Yeah, well, that's a great example or analogy. They start just trying to survive themselves and they become their own thing. And yeah, it's pretty bad. Well, you know, there are a lot of good people that work for the VA. I say that every time because there are good people that work there, but it's management that is screwed up and it's the politicians that screw it up. And you know, that's the thing. It's not the people that you see when you go in there to get care, but you know, there's problems all over the place, and you would think with that much money they'd have figured this stuff out by now. But today's a good day to talk about that, the 6th of June, D-Day's anniversary. So I think, you know, people need to keep paying attention to this stuff. And if you're talking about the big, beautiful bill and any legislation, really, you know, it pays to go into it, look at it, see what it's all about, you know, and so many times it's just like Musk said, he doesn't like the big, beautiful bill because it's full of pork and a bunch of other stuff. Well, I don't like pork either. You know, I think that's crazy, but there's enough good things in it. See, that's the way they do it. Put enough good things in something that people ignore the bad things and let that stuff slide.
Yeah, it's come down to basically, look, we have to pass this in order to get the tax cuts made permanent. We have to pass this to get funding for the deportations that we need to do. We need to do this to get funding for border security and all of these other things. And it puts us all in a position of hey, we do want that. We do want border security. We do want funding for deportations. You know, we do want the tax cuts made permanent. But then they put it in with certain pork spending. And there's apparently a SALT. They're changing the state and local tax deduction amount to try to appease some of these Republicans from the blue states with high state and local taxes. And you end up with getting something that I guess can get a majority in Congress, but really has a lot of negatives to it. Maybe this is just Elon Musk finally coming to that realization that no matter how much billions he puts into this thing, like you're just not going to overcome this sort of intransigence in Congress to cutting spending, because you've got these Congress people that they've got their own little pet projects, and they'll sit there and tell you, no, I'm only going to vote for this if you put in this or you put in that. And I don't know, maybe Trump could have done a better job of calling those specific people out and putting the public pressure on them. But then again, they got elections to win at home. You know, who knows how effective that would be?
Well, you got to remember too, they asked Musk to cut spending and to find all this fraud, waste, and abuse, and that's what he did. So of course he's not going to like a bill that spends a lot of money, because you just had him spend 5 months getting rid of things like this. So you know, I think that's frustration on his part. You know, he came in and he worked hard to do this, and then they just turn around and start all over again. So I would be frustrated too.
Oh, yeah. And I am frustrated. I am frustrated. Hey, the story about Missoula's flag, that has been generating a lot of commentary as well. And so I just wanted to get – have you been following that story at all, George?
I have a little bit, yeah.
So what's your take on that?
Well, first of all, I think it's ridiculous that the city council would do that, take the pride flag that's so divisive and make it their city flag. It just shows that they're not very smart. But here's where people can kind of push back on this. So Elena in Phillipsburg pointed out that Montana code states that city governments and state governments will fly the POW flag anytime they fly the U.S. flag. And the POW flag is also the only flag that can be flown below the U.S. flag on the same pole. So by flag code, that's what it states. So, you know, if they see city governments flying the pride flag on the same pole as the U.S. flag, then they're breaking flag code and they're breaking state law. So that's the difference. Flag code isn't punishable if you don't follow it. It's a code. But Montana code annotated is the law. And so that's where you can push back on this and, you know, harass them about it. Call them and go down there, send them emails, take pictures, send it to the news, whatever. Just saying, hey, they're breaking the law. This is a city government or a state government agency that is breaking the law.
Right. And there's no question that the state legislature, the state government could never tell a private property owner or a private person what flag they can or cannot, you know, fly. That's obviously First Amendment free speech. However, when it comes to the government, the city government, the county government, yes, the state legislature, the state government can absolutely tell a city government or a state government what they can and cannot do in terms of flying flags. You know, when this bill first passed, they sort of pushed it as, hey, this is a bill that prohibits the flying of the LGBTQ pride flag. And that's sort of the way that was the intent behind it, but that's not actually what the bill says. The bill actually just says that they can only fly an official flag or flags that have what they call in here certain historical, military, law enforcement, and school district or mascot flags, which I think the POW flag would fall within one of those.
Oh, it would, sure. So you know, it's funny. Somebody's going to be offended by anything that you do, and especially the people that are just nuts about this pride flag. But, you know, it wasn't long ago, the VA Montana was flying the pride flag out in front of their hospital in Helena. And so somebody came along and passed a law that said, you're not going to do that. Federal entities are not going to fly the flag, the pride flag in front of them. And so the VA had to stop doing that. But yeah, that was just a few years ago.
That is so absurd. And the Biden administration was flying the pride flag at U.S. embassies in parts of the world where that was seen as highly, highly offensive. I just thought that was just stupid foreign policy.
Well, it shows how stupid people are because, you know, and I'm not talking to everybody, but you know who you are. So these people that support this and would support them flying the pride flag in, say, the Middle East, where it is very highly frowned upon, and the people that are supporting Hamas and the people that are supporting all of these groups in the Middle East that would throw them off of roofs of buildings if they knew who they were and knew they were gay, they wouldn't even question them. They'd toss them right off the roof or bury them up to their chest and then stone them to death. But these people still are rooting for them because conservatives aren't, I guess.
Right. And it's just like, I don't know if you heard me talking about that new Apple show that's got a bunch of sort of parts in it where they're desecrating Catholic churches. They're breaking into Catholic churches and eating the Eucharist and making jokes about it. They're having sex in the pews and things like that. And I thought, I was like, okay, well, look, if Apple wants to make a disgusting, disgusting TV show like that, like they can do that and I don't have to watch it. But the point I thought that they made that was really good was like, you guys would never do this to Islam. You would never do this to Muhammad. At which point, it sort of comes off as almost sort of intentional intentional discriminatory like targeting of Christians or Christianity, because we all know they would never do that and have a mosque or have Muhammad in it or have a character having sex around Muhammad or what. They would never ever do that, right? But they have no problem doing it to Christians or the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. Isn't that strange how Christians are supposed to just sit back and take it? Just take it.
Well, and we do.
Yeah.
Because we're not, I mean, in a lot of the radical Islamic terrorists will literally want to kill you or blow you up if you even so much as draw a picture of Muhammad.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that is something that I don't understand. Nobody really knows what he looks like, so if you draw a picture, I don't know. I guess if you just say that's Muhammad, but right. It's so radical, it's so crazy that I don't see how they can get anybody in the Western world to sign off on that stuff.
Hey, we got a comment here about the VA. Lucas in Broadview, thank you for sending in the message on the Montana Talks app. And we do have open phones, 294-0970. Lucas in Broadview says, I was employed at the VA for a few years. I will say it was the toughest job I ever had. That organization is overgrown with red tape, corruption, and politics. It's like a government farm that only cultivates poison ivy and bull feces.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that kind of sounds kind of similar to what you were saying, George.
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, well, I appreciate that message because it's always great to hear from somebody that actually worked there and hear what they have to say. And, you know, I know people that used to work at the VA that refused to say anything about it, even though they would like to, because that's where they get their care. So they're really not going to be talking bad about them if that's where they're going to get their care.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of people that go in there and they go in there with the best of intentions and everything else, and the organization probably ends up grinding them down and they end up getting jaded, and that happens, I'm sure, a lot. And you probably also see a lot of people that that go in there with the best of intentions and that end up having to quit because they're not achieving what they went there to do.
Exactly.
Which is a sad deal. But thank you for the message, Lucas in Broadview. Open phones, David Noble, George Blackard, filling in for Aaron Flint, 406-294-0970. We'll be right back after this.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's your favorite guest host, David Noble, here with George Blackard in the house on June 6th, broadcasting live to our audience worldwide on Montana Talks. George has something to say about Visit MT.
Yeah, you know, this is a great program that's going on that Aaron's been talking about. It's brought to us by Montana Tourism, and it's about Sun Tours. But you, I want you to listen, can win. They have a giveaway this week. And to find out what that giveaway is, you can go to visitmt.com/giveaway. visitmt.com/giveaway. And a few little facts that they throw out to us that are kind of fun facts, they call them. Between April and December each year, powwow celebrations, supporting events, reenactments, rodeos, and Indian relay races are hosted across Montana's Indian nations and in urban centers and are open to the public. A lot of those events across this state, and they are fun to go to, very interesting, and a lot of times a great learning experience. And Sun Tours that we were talking about, and a lot of people have seen Sun Tours, I'm sure, running up and down the road. They are a Blackfeet-owned and operated local family business, and I did not know that. But Sun Tours is one of the only tribal national park concessionaires in the entire country. And 2025 marks its 33rd operating season. Wow. That's something else right there. So, you know, go to visitmt.com/giveaway. It's all about Montana tourism. You can sign up there to win this week's prize. So check it out.
Awesome. Thank you, George Blackard. Before we go to some more Freedom Friday stories from George, let's go to the phones. We've got Jeff in Polson. Jeff, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to let you know that the whole Missoula Council, City Council Pride flag, historical flag, kerfuffle made it to the national level. It was on a couple days ago, earlier this week, on the Vince Show, a nationally syndicated talk show that took over from Dan Bongino. And I called in yesterday and actually made it in and was on the line, but I guess they had other things they didn't want to talk about. But I was going to call out the two city council members, Bill Campbell and in particular Sandy Vasica. She's a rock star. She's very often the only vote for consents on the city council. There's a lot of 11 to 1, sometimes 10 to 2, but Sandy is a stalwart, and I just wanted to give a shout out to her.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. I agree with that. I think Aaron had her on earlier in the week. I didn't get a chance to hear that segment, though. I don't know if you did, George.
I did not hear it, no.
Hey, so what other Freedom Friday focus stories do you have for us?
Well, I think this one, since it's the anniversary of D-Day. So here, last weekend, I went into the VFW and sat down and was spending some time with some people. And Francesca points out that she said, hey, up on the wall, I see Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, but there's no Coast Guard sign up there. And I said, well, those beer signs are really old. Those are antiques. And, you know, I don't know why they didn't have one for the Coast Guard, but she noticed it and pointed it out. And so when I saw this story about D-Day, I thought it was important to share. The headline is Coasties. That's what they call Coast Guardsmen and women. Braved withering German fire to put troops ashore on D-Day. So the Higgins boats, which were the landing craft, that in the movies you see them coming up to the beach and the front gate drops down and everybody storms off, those were run by Coast Guard members. And so
I didn't know that. I sort of thought Coast Guard was sort of hanging out by our coast, but I guess not.
Well, no. And in fact, they still to this day go all over the world and make appearances. So there's a great story at military.com. Now, if you are squeamish, you may not want to read it because this is a first person account. And it talks about this young man who was 18 at the time, weighed about 125 pounds. And he was on one of those. And just to kind of give you a feel for it, he said, as soon as they lowered the forward ramp, 15 or 16 GIs died immediately from German fire. And if you've seen Saving Private Ryan, you've seen this depicted in that movie. And it talks about that, and it talks about how they couldn't get the gate back up. And so the boat driver told him, he's in the back of the craft, he goes, go up there and close the gate. So they had to go up there and they had to take a few bodies off of the gate so that it could close so they could go back and get more people. And, you know, that would be harrowing enough. And he talked about how scary that was, but he did it 14 more times. So he made,
are you kidding me?
15 trips dropping troops off at the beach. So this is a great story. It's really informative because it's a first-person story. So I encourage you to go to military.com and check it out.
And that was a Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Wow, yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah, so, you know, my hat's off to the Coast Guard. That was Gunner's Mate Frank DeVita. So I think Frank DeVita deserves to have his name mentioned on air. But check that out and think about that. There was a lot that happened on this day. And, I mean, this is when the war started to change, when America jumped in there and invaded those beaches. So, you know, I think today's an appropriate day to think about that.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, I just recently finished The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich by William Shire, which is kind of known as one of the greatest books of all time about not just World War II, but sort of before and sort of after as well. And you're right. That's exactly when the war sort of made its turning point, was when America got involved and we started retaking that land. Because kind of previous to that, the Nazi war machine had just sort of walked all over everybody, whether it was, you know, Poland or Czechoslovakia or France, or they're just and it is crazy to think back during that time, because it was the it was their tank divisions and the air force that they had, and it just had never, the world had never seen anything like it before.
Well, exactly. And you know, the only thing that kept them from making a clean sweep of Europe is England was on an island, so it's not that easy to get over there. So that's like one of the only reasons they didn't just make a clean sweep of it.
Yeah, no, that's right. And then Hitler was crazy enough to actually wanted to try to do an amphibious invasion of England, and had sort of had bad plans for it and everything else, and sort of decided not to, because I think they realized like that would have been a massive failure.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been a whole different level of engagement there for sure. But you know, luckily everybody came together and stomped out fascism and Nazism, and I think it's those are two words that get thrown around too lightly in our society today, and people calling Trump a Hitler or a Nazi or this, that, the other thing. I saw the other day, you remember when President Trump was elected and Elon Musk, he was out kind of campaigning for him, and he put his hand on his heart and then he put it out to the people in front of him, and everybody said, oh, that's obviously a Nazi salute. That is obviously. And you had supposedly educated people on all these liberal news channels saying that. Was it Cory Booker the other day does the exact same thing?
Right, I saw that.
And
yeah,
they don't even mention it, right?
Right.
But that's how ridiculous these news stations are and these talking heads are. You know, one person it's obvious, another person they don't mention it.
You're so right, though, too, about those words Nazis and fascism being overused and almost rendered meaningless today, which is such a disservice to the truth of what those words represent. And for people like us who've really studied the history and thought about these things a lot, it's really unfortunate to have those words sort of become so meaningless. And the Democrats have done this with racism, you know, or slavery too. It's like they've overused those attacks, whether it's Nazis or fascists or racists or these types of things. They just overuse them so much that then they lose their actual power against the genuine Nazis and genuine fascists or genuine racists. And it's the same with the Me Too movement and the Believe All Women. That was such a disservice to the women who were truly mistreated or assaulted, because then you have this sort of this pushback when you have everybody making accusations, and a lot of them are false, but we're told we have to believe them. That does a disservice to the genuine accusations. And it's the same with overuse of those words. But
absolutely. And you know, when we come back, I want to just mention, so this Egyptian that used those Molotov cocktails to assault those Jews, I want to mention something about that as well.
All right, we'll do that, and we're going to go to Lee and Billings on the phones right after this. David Noble, George Blackard filling in for Aaron Flint.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Is it any wonder assaults on ICE agents have jumped a whopping 413%. Tom Homan put it on his X account, a DHS post, a 413% increase in assaults. What's going to happen as this doxing now has gone mainstream with now the House Minority Leader, you know, basically saying he will unmask and dox and identify ICE agents and put their lives in jeopardy, and doing it for what possible reason? Why would they allow people in this country unvetted in the first place? One House Democrat claims that Trump's immigration crackdown will leave Americans without anyone to wipe our asses. I'm not making that up either.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
We've got trade wars, inflation, skyrocketing national debt, and a potential recession looming. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Gold Co. With over 6,000 five-star customer reviews, an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, and the industry's highest buyback guarantee, Goldco is the preferred precious metals company of thousands of Americans. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can help diversify your savings, tax and penalty free today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Old Dominion drops her new album, Barbara, August 22nd. The 13-track album includes the singles Me Most Nights and Making Good Time, along with songs like Talk Country and What Doesn't Kill Memory. Barbara follows their 2023 album Memory Lane, but it's the band's most personal record yet, with songs that explore the light and dark sides of life while embracing a more mature, introspective sound. The album is not named after a real woman, but an imagined composite of a person who embodies many of the group's various personality traits. Show me color. CMA Fest is coming to television with a new host later this month. Ashley McBride will return to recap the four-day concert series happening this weekend in Nashville. But this year, she will be joined by Cody Johnson. It's Johnson's first time hosting CMA Fest on TV or any televised country music event. The event will air on ABC June 26th. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and George Blackard on Freedom Friday live on June 6th. George, you had a couple other stories. One about the media, and was it about that Egyptian bomber guy or whatever?
It was. So, you know, we're talking about the liberal media and how they're always after white guys and trying to demonize them. And so when you have this Egyptian that firebombs these elderly Jewish people with homemade Molotov cocktails in an effort to kill them, he had planned this for a long, long time. They immediately saw a picture of him and said, well, it was a white guy. There's a white guy attacked these Jews, you know. And I said, see, right there. That's what I'm talking about. They jump to conclusions, and they immediately demonize white guys. And, you know, I sit in work one day, and I asked somebody, did you see this news story? And he said, yeah, but that just happened today. I'm going to wait 4 days and wait to see how it shakes out, see what the real news is. Let them get to the facts instead of all the hysteria.
Yeah, that's like the old Dan Bongino rule. You know, wait at least 24 hours before commenting on any news story, because so often the initial reports turn out to be just totally false. Oh, like that one, that guy's an Egyptian, you know. I had another comment on that. It's like, because then they arrested his family, right? And we don't necessarily know why or what involvement they had, but the Democrats are upset about that. And my point was, what are they upset about that for? Yet when we have a school shooting here in the U.S., the first thing Democrats want to do is arrest the parents.
Absolutely. That's another great example. And, you know, I think on that case and in this case, they don't know if anybody in this family helped him or not. And the way the media portrays it is his wife and kids. Well, they arrested his kids. Well, his kids are adults. So, you know, that's the way. Yeah, it's just like when you have someone that murders someone and it becomes national news, and they pick out a seventh grade photo to show of him wearing a bow tie with a smile. Wow. And, you know, but he's really 25 years old. Yeah, that's what the media does.
That's exactly what they do. Let's go to Lee in Billings. Lee, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm going to change gears a little bit here.
Please do.
It's Freedom Friday. I want to recommend a museum that I went to that knocked my socks off, literally. It's the National Museum of Military Vehicles. It's a private museum 8 miles outside of Dubois, Wyoming. It's between Riverton and Dubois, Wyoming. And it's amazing. It doesn't just show you vehicles and line them up and everything, but it's also focused on the people who fought in them, and it's a tribute to anyone that served. Of course, veterans always are admitted free, and they have way over 500 vehicles and tanks and things of not only just America, but also some of the enemy tanks that we had to come up against. But on this day of D-Day, one of the first things you see is the landing craft when you come in there with the Jeep coming out of it. It's an amazing sight. It's a five-star attraction for sure.
Wow, thank you for that information. I'm not familiar with that. Are you, George?
I am. I have not been there, but I have heard the same thing from at least a half dozen veterans that have gone down there and seen it. Then they say it is well worth the drive down there to see. It's very impressive.
That is fantastic. I had no idea that that existed, and that's within driving distance of here. It sounds like I love military vehicles. I love military equipment. In fact, one of my favorite things to do is just watch YouTube videos that's just like highlights of like American military equipment and air, you know, jets, and you know, I could sit there and watch YouTube videos of American military vehicles all day long.
Oh yeah, it is very interesting to see that. Well, you know, thanks a lot, David, for having me today, and wish everybody a meaningful June 6th.
Thank you so much, George. Thanks for being here. We got 1 hour left, folks. We are going to have open phones the entire 9 o'clock. So call in now. You'll be first up during the statewide 9 a.m. hour Montana Talks. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.
Of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck is going to be off. Clay in solo, and he will be breaking down the latest on the big, beautiful bill, some back and forth with Elon Musk, Donald Trump, and some other heavy hitters on whether this is the right bill at the right time or needs some tweaks. Also talk to Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich about his new book. That's all coming up on Clay and Buck.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.